I had a few titles for this message today, and I think the one that I kind of landed on was, how can we love like Him? In the last couple messages I taught, and I'm not going to do review, you can listen if you want, but about the love of God and how important love is, and how important God's love is, and about God's love and all those things, and it leads us to a place where at some point in time, when you're raising your children and they're looking at you and they're like, oh, mommy, daddy, you know, at some point in time, your children should say, how can I be like mommy and daddy, right? At some point in time, you know, maybe not in always, but at some point in time, how can I be faithful like mommy and daddy? How can I love like mommy and daddy? How can I live like mommy, right? Isn't that normal in parents? We hope so. We hope so. How can we love like Father? It's what the world needs. But in asking that question, first of all, we have to decide whether we want to or not, right? There's got to be a want to involved. You got to want this. We might as well answer that question within ourselves right now. How can I love like Jesus? Do I want to love like Jesus? Otherwise, we can be great hearers and not doers, just like James described in his book, right? Has anybody here ever been really hungry? I mean, like hungry. Hungry. Now, the back row is shaking their heads vigorously. Hungry. Anybody ever been physically really hungry? Maybe after something strenuous, you know, you missed a meal or whatever like that, you know, and you're hungry. Like you could eat anything and a lot of it. Right now, right? Some of you, right? Right now, you could eat anything and a lot of anything. I can remember, you know, when Doug and I went backpacking in the mountains and you know, those meal times, we were hungry. And it didn't matter so much what it looked like or what it tasted like, even though it was nice to have tasty food. We were going to eat because we were hungry. I've read somewhere, probably a backpacker magazine, that backpacking is the most strenuous workout of any exercise you could ever pick. You know, because it's, I mean, you're carrying, well, we were carrying 285 pounds each, I think, right? Our packs were heavy. No, I'm just kidding. 50 pounds. We were at 50 pounds a piece. I mean, we had cameras. And I had a little camping chair. I mean, you know, we had the kitchen sink in there. But, you know, when you're working really, really hard, you get really, really hungry, right? We weren't picky on our food. We weren't picky. We ate. Most people who are really picky over their food are not really hungry. Right? You know, children go through spurts, right? I mean, one day a child or a week a child will eat everything in sight and you can't satisfy them, right? And then the next week, they're not hungry. It happens. I mean, go through cycles. It's okay. But see the spiritual side of this? Where I'm getting at here is a lot of Christians are picky over their spiritual meals. They're picky over the sermons and the teachings and their books. They're picky because they may not really be hungry. I know that doesn't happen here in Bordentown or New Jersey. It probably happens up in New York State or down in over in California or Wyoming or something like that. It probably doesn't happen here. But, you know, I've heard tell that Christians get picky and critique-y. So I don't know if that's a real word, but critique-y. It is now. And a lot of times it's because we have been filled with like some junk food. You know, you eat the junk food, you don't want to put the good food in. We drink too much milk products and too much unhealthy stuff. And some of that, you know, what I'm alluding to is what we spend our time with. And, you know, we get too many face tweets. That's not a real thing, right? So I didn't pick on anything real. We get too many face tweets. We get too many text mails. That's not a real thing either, right? Okay, so I'm not really picking on something real. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? In entertainment, there's nothing wrong with all that stuff in and of itself. It's, you know, it's okay. I'm not knocking that because I do all that too. I face tweet. I go on Facebook. But if it takes the place of communion with Father, as He waits for us, He waits for us to commune with Him. You know, those things that kind of get in that way there, it's we have to be aware of them. And so do we want to love like Jesus loved? I believe 100% everybody here wants to love like Jesus loved. I mean it. I really mean it. All of that prior critique I just talked about aside. We want to love like Jesus, don't we? We do. We want to love like Him. We want to love like Jesus. That's what is going to answer questions to the world. Because if I'm trying to like stir up some passion in us, I'm doing it on purpose. Because love is everything. I mean, the answer to everything in this life boils down to this. And that is our willingness to follow Him. Our willingness to follow Him. I'm not talking about somebody who is pushed through the door to follow Him. Or drug by the scruff of the neck to follow Him. I'm talking about disciples. People who lay it on the line and follow after Him. Those people. It depends on our willingness to follow Him and the level of our passion to pursue Him. What is your passion level to pursue Jesus? How much passion is in your pursuit? How much? How much is there? Turn with me to John 15. Everybody should know this chapter of the Bible, John 15. This is the abiding chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to read some scriptures that we've all, you know, hid in our hearts, and we know these scriptures, and I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know today. Isn't that good? This is a repeat. That's how we learn, right? Repetition. John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. And this is Jesus talking, of course, because it's in red in my Bible. So it has to be Jesus. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Key verse there. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Amen. So what does this abiding mean? What does abiding mean? We're talking about abiding in the vine. Jesus has given a picture of an orchard or a vineyard and crops and growth and fruit. He may have been walking by one. They maybe have parked in one. At that point in time, might pull the Jesus tour bus in there. And they're all looking at all these apples or grapes hanging all over the place, all right? In my lineage, I have a lot of people who were amazing farmers. Great skill to grow things. I grow weeds really well. I try to grow gardens, but usually the weeds overtake my time. And they didn't just plant seeds. For instance, they would plant an apple tree. My dad's got an apple orchard now that has trees in it planted by my great-great-grandfather. Still bearing fruit. They're gnarly-looking trees now. Really gnarly. But still bearing apples. But anyway, they wouldn't just plant a seed. They plant an apple tree, for instance. And when it would mature, they knew how to graft in branches. You might have heard of that or read it, seen a documentary, or pulled up on YouTube. Somebody will be on YouTube doing it. New book. And they would graft these branches in, and they'd produce hybrid apples. They were good at their craft. They'd make these hybrid apples, and what they would do is they produced something that they wanted. And this is before all that GMO junk, right? You don't have to be afraid to eat this fruit. If they wanted an apple just for eating, they would design one for it. They wanted an apple for pies, they would design one for pies. They knew, and okay, this apple mixed with this apple and crossed with that apple, you know, we'll come up with this. And there's at least one apple tree in his orchard. It's not a big orchard. That is a one of a kind in the world. There's no other ones like this. Just one. Pretty cool. But that's what God is talking about here, about this. Weren't we like the wild branch grafted in to the one true vine? Weren't we? We were grafted in. What happened to who you are as a person in your heart, mind, will, soul, your emotions? Who you are, now you're grafted in to Jesus. You're still you. Special, precious, unique. Some of us are weird. I have to throw that in there, because I am sometimes. Just ask my family. But it's that uniqueness. But as long as you're grafted into the vine, you're going to get your nourishment, your sustenance, the food, drink, everything is coming through that vine. And why? Because we're unique and we are to bring this flavorful fruit to His glory. And you can't even boast about it. Because it's not you. It's you, but it's not because of you. Amen? You're tracking with me? So what does abiding mean to me? This love that we want to walk in. We have to do it by abiding. So what does it mean? It's got to make sense. It's got to be practical. And when I say practical, I don't mean easy. Let's differentiate, because abiding is not always easy. It takes a little effort on our parts. Okay, we've got to do some things. But it's got to be practical. It's got to be understandable. Like, abide? I have no idea what that means, so I guess I can't. Right? So here's a definition I came up with. And that's living out our lives daily by connecting to His heart, connecting to His mind, connecting to His will, connecting to His promises, and expecting His presence. That's abiding to me. That's a scriptural example of abiding in Christ. And we should be talking to Jesus from our morning wake up. The moment we open our eyes, or that alarm jars us out of that good dream. You know, wake up praising God. Wake up talking. Here I am, Lord. Everything aches today, but I'm going to abide in You. Especially this morning, because we put a fence up yesterday. So I'm like, my right hand can barely close my fingers. Right, Andre? Abiding. But you know what? We go into and expecting His presence. Don't go along your day hoping God's going to show up. Right? There's a difference between, gee, I hope God shows up in my life today. There's a difference between that and expecting. Amen? There's a difference, and it's important to see. And we always understand that the picture of the vine and the branches here, the vine always, how long? Always has enough, more than enough, for what you need that day. Always. I can remember seeing somebody, probably when I was a young kid, you know, tapping maple trees to make maple sugar. It's cool. Steve knows, right? He's a maple sugar man right here. And he tap in there. It's amazing how much fluid comes out of that tree. It's amazing. And these farmers, they guys out in the woods that have all these maple trees, they'd have these lines. They tap one tree after the next, and they'd have these little like tubes that go from one to the next down the hill and collect into a bucket, because you need how many gallons of sap to make 1 gallon? How many? 37. Not 37 and a half, not 38, not 35. Right? 37 gallons make one good. No, I'm already getting hungry. I love real maple syrup. Oh, it's the best. Nothing like it. Get all those, you know, was it Aunt Jemima on the table and and you know, and the other store brands, and the kids, oh, I'll take some syrup. I always make sure I pass them that one. Keep the maple syrup, because, you know, kids don't know the difference in anything. But they do, right? Oh, come on, you're all laughing because you all have done it. Kids don't know. They will once they taste it. So, abiding in Him causes us to shift our focus. If we're abiding in Jesus, we will automatically begin to shift our focus. And what are we going to shift our focus from? We won't have to spend as much time and effort on our problems, right? Doug has preached this for years. He's set a good example. He prays more about other people than his own problems, a whole lot more. That's the way we should do it. When you abide in Jesus, that will start to happen more and more and more. You'll be thinking, yeah, you're not diminishing your problem. Problems are problems. You can't say, oh, I don't have any problems, because either you're a lunatic or you're lying to yourself. Because we all go through problems. So you don't have to be crazy about it. Know Jesus has the answer, and you abide in Him. You'll start to see other people's problems. You'll start to pray for them, and wow, your problem just worked out. How'd that happen? Sometimes you look back. I had this problem. Whoa, that problem's gone. I don't even know what happened to it. Right? Those things happen when you abide in Jesus. I'm saying that you're going to sleep in the storms. Remember Jesus? Mark 4:38. Turn over. There's a key verse here that God showed me this morning. I wasn't even going to put this in here, but then after praise and worship, the Lord told me to. So this is a icing, a little icing. You got this whole meal, and you got dessert kind of thing. But Mark 4:38. Where's Jesus and His disciples? First of all, they're in a boat somewhere. A lot of cool stories about Jesus and the disciples in a boat. Think about it. They're in a boat, probably a fishing boat, and they're going from one place to the other. And Jesus had done just got done preaching a whole bunch of great messages, and now He's in a boat, and He's in the back, in the stern, and He's asleep on a pillow. Pretty cool picture. Now, I mean, that's vivid. You can see that, right? He's painted a picture so that you can see where Jesus is. He's just like, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. It's okay. He's sleeping. Then His disciples, what happens in verse 38? But He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you think that's why they said it? Now, these were professional fishermen. And when they said that there was a bad storm, you didn't need to look up AccuGuess to find out if it was a bad storm. All you Leebacks and all the weather. You got to follow that weather, right? We do too. There's always a weather report in the morning. And my weather report, my wife's and my daughter's, they all disagree. What is up with that? Does that ever happen to anybody else that's just in my house? It does, right? No, mine says it's not going to rain today. It's supposed to rain today. Look. Weird arguments we have about it. Where was I? So there's this storm that came up. And it's a powerful storm. And a storm big enough to make seasoned fishermen afraid? You betcha, that's a storm. That's a storm. You can hear the wind. And so they probably, Jesus, I might want to wake up now. We may be perishing. No, these fishermen probably used a few choice words and said, get up, Jesus, we're dying right now. You got to get off that pillow, do something. It's ridiculous, right? We can look at that story. And why? Because they had Jesus. Jesus was in the boat with them, right, Brock? Jesus was there. We look back, we can make fun of those disciples all day long. We can, and we have. What's wrong with those people? Didn't they know Jesus, the Son of God, who was doing miracles all over the place, healing the sick, raising the dead, turning water into wine? He's in the boat with them. All of us are ridiculous. We're all ridiculous. We all lost our minds sometimes when we go through problems. We just, what happens to the fact that Jesus is in my boat? Jesus is in your boat. He's in your boat. Jesus is sitting in the back, maybe asleep. I won't go there. That's a whole other teaching. seemingly asleep, right? Jesus is in your boat. He knows about the storm, and he is relaxed. And there's not one ounce of fear in him. So your problems, literally, are you about to be claimed by a storm right now? I mean, literally, are you going to die, possibly, in the next 5 seconds and drowned in deep water? Selah. How bad is your problem, really? Abide in Christ. Abide in Him. He could sleep because he wasn't afraid, because he abided with his Father. He knew his Father. That's why abiding is so vital. If we abide, if we focus on His strength, His faith, His hope, His power, His presence, it'll leave a lot less room for my strength, my obedience, my confidence, my motives. I'd much rather abide than be concerned about what Jesus is going to do. Jesus, how are you going to fix this problem? Really? How are you going to help me here? I mean, I'm about ready to sink, but I know you're going to come through. You know why? Because you always come through. Always. Always come through. The shift in focus empowers us. And that's what gives us the courage to be peaceful in the storm. To be peaceful in the storm. When things are going crazy all around you and there's a whirlwind. Anybody ever walk through like whirlwinds of problems? Whirlwinds, I mean, like swirling. Can't hardly see through them because the dust is so thick. Like you can't even figure out what you're going to do the next 5 minutes. Yeah, those are the kind of things we're talking about here. I imagine in this storm, you know, horizontal winds. You ever been on a body of water with a horizontal wind? Yeah, you can't see very far. You can't. Jesus was asleep on the pillow. Glory. Read that story again later. Mark that down. That next time I have a problem, I'm going to read that. Jesus is in the boat. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you disciples? Jesus, say that with me. Jesus is in the boat. Say, Jesus is in my boat. Abiding in Him causes us to be like Him. See, what we spend our most time with is what we become like, right? You spend a whole lot of time with Jesus, abide with Him, you start to look like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, walk like Him, heal people like Him, speak faith on people like Him, raise the dead like Him. Somebody just said, not me. Yeah, you! Jesus. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8. There's several psalms that talk about the works of man's hands, the idols of man's hands. So I wasn't going to have, and you can write it down, but this is one where they have mouths they don't speak, hands they don't touch, feet they don't go anywhere, eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear. Remember those in the book of Psalms? If you want to refer to it, you can go to Psalm 115, 4 through 8. That's one of the, I think there's three examples in Psalms that talks almost the same exact verbiage. But when we abide in Him, we become like Him, right? If you don't abide with Him, you become like them. If you don't abide in Jesus, you're going to abide in somebody. You'll abide with something. If you don't abide with Christ, you will abide with idols. I'm just saying that's my experience, what I've seen. But when we abide with Him, we will speak with His words. Can I hear an amen? You will hear with His ears. You will see with His eyes. Wouldn't you rather see with Jesus' eyes than with your own eyes? It'll go way beyond what you can see. Right? You'll see right through that storm. You'll see the sunshine and the smooth water on the other side. You will smell with His nose. I don't know any spiritual applications for that right at this moment. But it sounds cool. You'll feel with His hands. You'll walk with His feet. You'll pray with His spirit. All good things. You see, this kind of abiding changes us. This will bring us into the love of God that we long for. John 15, verse 11. Go back to our opening scripture there. John 15, verse 11. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you." These things, I've told you these things. You want to know why? I love the punchlines. When you find punchlines in the Bible, they're really cool. Like, this is why I'm telling you this. As a parent, I've said that to my children. Children, you've heard this said to you, right? All of us are children. Remember older people, when your mom and dad said, "This is why I'm telling you this." You should highlight that in your Bible. This is why he's telling us this. Are you ready for it? "These things I've spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you." That my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. Is there any water up here unopened? I don't want to drink that other stuff. I don't know what will happen. Isn't that good? He's told us all these things about abiding because it has something to do with joy. His joy in you and me. That's why he's talking about this abiding. Because we need to have joy. Don't we have to have joy? We got to joyce and rejoice every day. Joyce and rejoice. Gets us through, amen? Full joy. And you know what? Along with joy, love, peace, hope, they're companions, right? Love, joy, peace, hope, they go together. You want love, you're going to get joy. You want joy, you're going to get love. You want hope, you're going to get peace. All these things, they just walk together very nicely, naturally in the supernatural. Amen? They are close companions. Now, you can tell if you're abiding in him in a lot of ways. And can I give you an example? I'll step on my own toes and maybe all of us a little bit. You know? Here's an example. Here's how you can tell if you're really abiding in Jesus. How do you react to the news? How do you react? How do we react to all the junk out there? How do we react when we see things happen in our country? How do we react when we see Planned Parenthood and the atrocities? How do we react? How do we react when we see shootings and hear lying politicians? I said that out loud. You can make a joke. How do you know a politician's lying? He's moving his lips? No, her lips, whatever lip. Just kidding. We have to pray for him. Now, how do we know? Because how do we respond to famines and earthquakes and wars? Now, these are real problems. These aren't being done in a vacuum someplace. These things are happening today. We're seeing it happening right here. How do we react? Well, Isaiah the prophet, we heard two scriptures from Isaiah today. It's awesome. I'm going, yeah, they're going to do the one I'm going to say? But no, but Isaiah came into our service already twice. He's going to come in again right now. Isaiah the prophet, he saw some pretty horrible things. Amen? He saw some hard stuff. And he saw the future too. He was a prophet. He prophesied the future. Some amazing prophecies that Isaiah gave. And here's something he said. Isaiah really said this. Are you ready? He said, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." Isaiah said that. That does not sound happy to me. And he's talking about a time to come. I believe we're in that time, or we're about to be. Behold, the dark. I like that. The darkness. That's how it's translated in my Bible. Behold, the darkness. Not just some passing shadow, but the darkness. The darkness. Who could that be? Yeah, him. The darkness. Now, if we stopped here, right there, we would have very little hope, wouldn't we? We'd have very little hope if we stopped right there. But turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. went the wrong way here. Isaiah chapter 60. Just before the longest book in the Bible, right, Wayne? There you go. Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 60. He got me on that one, what, a couple weeks ago when he preached about that? What's the longest book? Anybody else? Got me. The longest book. So Isaiah chapter 60, I'm just going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's happy. That's amazing. Now, I just took a little excerpt here. I took a little excerpt when I said before, verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. And I stopped right there. I stopped there before. Now, if that's all we say, we're not telling the whole truth, are we? We're not getting the whole picture. We're not getting the impact of what is happening that Isaiah saw in the future. And if we react to all these horrible things that we see going around here with just that one little myopic, I had to ask my wife what that meant to say this morning because I thought I knew what it meant, but she had to point me right. But that's something that lacks discernment. It's something that's short-sighted. You can see real good up here, but not far off, right? We can't look at things myopically. I had to say that when one of the teachers walked out. And then she just walked back in, so she couldn't correct me because she was out of the room. There you go. How am I doing? That worked. Okay. It would be a really dark picture if we stopped there, but it says, the last part of verse 2, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now let's stop right there. Now we've seen how we arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yeah, there's going to be some darkness covering the earth. Yes, there'll be deep darkness over the people. But God. How many people like but God stories? But God, I was sunk, but God. I was dying, but God. I was sick, but God. I was poor, but God. Anybody like those kind of stories? We all have testimonies like that, right? I was persecuted, but God. I was abandoned, but God. I was kicked to the curb, but God. Amen? Come on. Somebody should be getting excited. I hope this is stirring you up a little bit. I'm stirred up. But God stories. And this is that right now that Isaiah's talking about. Arise. I'm calling you, church, myself. Let's arise and let's shine. For our light has come. Past tense. Our light has come. The windows of heaven are open. We don't have to wait any longer. His presence is here. He is in your boat. He's right there. He's riding with you. You know what I mean? We're living this now. We're living it now. His power has risen on us. His presence, His light. So, do you see how our God sees the future? See how God sees the presence? He sees it. He's put light in you. Empowering you, giving you all things pertaining to life and godliness so that we can walk like Jesus walked. Scripture is clear. If any man says he is in Christ, let him walk like Jesus walked. 1 John. Abide in him. You will see the future like he sees it. I want to see how God sees the future. Amen? I don't know about you. Because if I just concentrate on Fox News or CNN or CNBC or any of that stuff, if I just spend all my time just thinking about, wow, that really is bad. No, that's not the whole story. That's the middle part. That's not the arise, shine part. That's not the but God part. Amen? God is not negative about our future, is He? We can be like the disciples in the boat, carrying up because they're experts. Because there really was a storm. This is wasn't some metaphorical, it's probably not the right word either, storm. This is a real storm. And there's real storms out there. But who's bigger than the storm? So your neighbors, the one sitting next to you, next time they're having a problem, just poke them and say, Jesus is in your boat. What's wrong with you? Give him the gib slap, you know? Jesus is in your boat. I'll pray with you. I want to see the future like Jesus sees it. Abiding in him will keep your hope alive in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the darkness. Abiding in him will fuel the flames of passion that we need. We need passion. We need passion in the church today. We need people to get stirred up, fired up, excited. We need that today. Too many times we just get tired. Amen? Come on. Let's face it, we all get tired sometimes, and that's okay. We got to take a rest. But you can't stay tired the rest of your life. We get tired serving sometimes, yes, but we don't quit. We get tired, but we keep pushing forward. We take our rest, take a Sabbath, and move forward. Nobody's sleeping. Okay, so nobody in here is that tired. Thanks that you came today, that you're not too tired to come to church and hear me move my jaw, you know, stir you up, step on your toes, and kick you in the butt, and let's do this for Jesus. Come on. He's in your boat. I read that 1,000 times, and that's probably not an exaggeration. But it's just something stirred up in me today when I just went over that. I mean, I was kind of like going over my notes one last time, sitting in my chair covered with a blanket because it's 55 degrees in my house, my room at least. And I'm reading, and the Lord just touched me on the shoulder and said, you know, remember me sleeping in the boat? That's part of abiding. That's, I can do that because I abide my Father. You can do that too if you abide in me. And that's what he told me this morning. So I just had to throw that in. That wasn't planned. That's the Holy Ghost to me and you. This AM. So be encouraged today. Be encouraged. Let him, as you abide in him, let him stir you up. Let him open your eyes. Remind you some of the things that he's already called you to do. Remind you some of the things that you know you should be doing. And just roll with it. Okay, God, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to serve you. Okay, I'm gonna take up my pallet and walk. You know, that man could have stayed there, couldn't he? When Jesus healed him, remember? Take up your pallet and walk. Consider that's what I'm saying. Take up your pallet and walk. Take it up. You're not crippled anymore by those outside influences because Jesus is in your boat. Amen? So be encouraged. Connect to his heart, connect to his mind, connect to his will, and his nourishing life force will feed you and empower you today. Amen? Let's all stand and pray. Lord God Almighty, I thank you for the empowering.